This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Chris Eliopoulos and Mike Scopa.
Welcome back, Milers. I am your host, Chris Eliopoulos, and with me, as always, is the Dean of Disney, Mike Scopa. Hi, Mike.
How you doing, Chris? I hope everybody will bear with us for this episode.
I wonder what we're going to talk about. When we started to record, I was thinking of this story about that we had together. Do you remember we did the first Dumbo Dash? Is that what it was called at Disneyland? It was the first multiple race weekends they had at Disneyland. And my family and I were in the parks over by Autopia, I think. And it was hysterical. This man and his child were in one of the cars, and the wife was outside a fence and like literally jumped over the fence and jumped in to take a picture of them inside of the car. And of course, everybody at Disney freaked out. They came running out. They shut everything down, including the railroad. And one of the conductors got off and was watching what was going on. And we started up a conversation, and he started asking me some trivia stuff. And I was getting it all right, because being the Disney nerd that I am, he said, you know what? Meet me back at the main train station at 4 o'clock. My shift ends at 4 o'clock. I've got a surprise for you. And I contacted you and Michelle at the time. And I said, meet us at 4 o'clock at the railroad station. And this gentleman was nice enough to give us passes. And we all got onto the Lily Bell, which is a very rare thing. They don't let you on very often. And we got a wonderful tour by this man who gave us he was done with work. And I remember at one point somebody tried to get on and he kicked them off and said, no, this is a private function. And it was one of those great Disney moments that we all love. So it made me think of us hanging out and enjoying something special at Disneyland. So hopefully we're going to make something special on the recording today. So tell me, Michael, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, just to remind the guests, just to remind the listeners that Chris and I have decided we're going to do like a cold turkey episode for every episode. That is, either I'm going to start talking about something without Chris knowing exactly what I was going to talk about, or Chris is going to start talking about something that I am not prepared to talk about. So We thought that the spontaneity would make for interesting conversations. So...
and a lot of mistakes and errors and guffaws. So
we just want everybody to bear with us, because we just barely started the show. So obviously,
you're such a honey of a bear.
Yeah, exactly. Pause for thought. Obviously, we want to talk about, there was an adult black bear that showed up in the Magic Kingdom this week. It climbed a tree near Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. Now, there's a lot of space behind there, so a lot of people don't realize that. But the bear climbed up there, and because the bear decided to sit in the tree, Disney World had to close several of the lands. I believe the only two lands that were open, Chris, were lots of Fantasyland and Tomorrowland. They actually closed the railroad, too. So what happened is that, think of this, if they close several lands, that means they're closing a multitude of attractions, which puts a strain on the other one. So by around 11:30, the average wait was, I think, 85 to 90 minutes for the remaining attractions.
Well, it's interesting, is the thing I thought of at the time was, I didn't realize that they had bears down in Florida. It was one of the things, but I will say the joke that I saw that was hysterical was, the reason they were upset the bear was in there, because he was originally scheduled to be in Epcot and he didn't come over after 1 o'clock.
There you go.
I thought that was a great one.
It was a female bear. They captured it and they brought it to, they took it 80 miles away to the Ocala National Forest. So.
That one's not coming back. No more free tickets. No free passes for that one.
No, and I want everybody to know that they didn't harm the bear, so there was no
They had to tranquilize it, right? They had a
There was no blood on the saddle, so.
Oh, geez. Okay. It's going to be a punny show today, huh?
Yeah. Shout out to Matt Milhauser, who's one of the punniest guys I know. Yeah. I wanted to mention that I would say about 12 years ago, maybe 11 years ago, I actually saw them pull a 5-foot alligator out of the Rivers of America. It was right across from Country Bear Jamboree.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was on a Saturday night. And they pulled the alligator out, and it was like, oh, my God. I didn't realize that animals have access to the park.
Yeah.
One more story. Back in the 80s and 90s, I remember talking with a security guard. And back then, it was just, it might have been in the 70s. I don't remember. But there wasn't that much to do in the park. It was much smaller then. And so when the park would close at night, it would not take too long for the workers to get the park ready for the next day. So normally they would take them 2, maybe 3 hours, right around 2, I guess they would pack up and leave. And, you know, there would be a security guard walking around maybe, but there would be no music. There may be some lights. And from what I was told, animals used to come into the park, deer and rabbits and whatever. But the funny thing about it was that when 5:30 or 6 o'clock came around and they started playing music in the park, they started to get the park ready. The animals sort of understood what was happening and they would go back into the brush.
Yeah. It's like Pavlov's dog. They know people are going to be there when they hear the music, right?
Yeah. So that was, so who knows? I mean, I know that when I drive along that road to Fort Wilderness, I'm always seeing deer on each side. And I'm driving along that road at night because I just know I'm going to possibly see a deer, or a deer is going to meet up with my vehicle. So anyways, that's the story of the bear. So,
well, we remember the alligator story from years ago. And I remember seeing, they had shut down Splash Mountain once while I was there. There's like a baby alligator right at the U-turn at the bottom. There was just an alligator sitting down there, and then they removed it. But yeah, animals get into the parks, man. I mean, they're not just guests. They're real animals.
They are, you know, just like
crazy.
Us.
Yeah.
So let's see. A lot of things happening. This week we heard several reports about how Disney is going to commit to spending somewhere in the area of like $60 billion.
Yeah.
To expand parks, products, services, all that stuff.
Can I ask right off the bat, when they talk about expanding, are they saying they're going to be building new attractions, new gates, new parks? Or is it more like we're sprucing things up? We're going to, you know, make everything a little bit better everywhere. We're going to, I mean, they should take some of that money and put it into like staffing, but that's a whole other story.
Well, yeah, we get to that. It involves everything. It involves not just the parks. It involves products and services, which could mean things like cruise lines. It could mean something to do with the streaming service. I know that of that $60 billion, only $17 billion
only
have been slated to go towards the Magic Kingdom, not the Magic Kingdom, Walt Disney World in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that $17
billion. Wow.
Yeah. So regarding expansion, Chris, there's a lot of room in the properties owned by Disney. The estimate is that there are as many as 1,000. I don't think that's that much. 1,000 undeveloped acres that can be used for attractions.
Mm-hmm.
I know that in the Magic Kingdom, there is a lot of space behind Big Thunder, and there are plans to build something back there. But before I get any further with that, Chris, I want to say that I'm taking all this information with a grain of salt, because I don't think that any company can really look ahead 10 years. I can recall so many things that I heard over the years that were going to happen, and nothing happened. And besides, is Bob Iger and Josh Amaro going to be stewards for the Disney company 10 years from now? I don't know. So what they want to do today may not be what tomorrow's chairperson wants to do. But let me go over a couple of things.
Okay.
I talked about how I'm taking this with a grain of salt, and I'll tell you why. There have been things that I have been told by cast members, by other people involved in the company that just never came to light. And there's all kinds of reasons. It's like, well, we wanted to do a Cars Land in the Disney Hollywood Studios theme park where Galaxy's
mm-hmm.
Edge is.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't because the water table's too high. Mm-hmm. So don't say anything until, you know, you look at that. There it was to be, and this could still very well happen, but it's just taking too long to develop. When you walk up Main Street USA, you can walk behind, well, there is an area that you can walk behind on the right-hand side of the mercantile.
Yeah. Sometimes we've run back there for the marathon. They actually run back us there. Back. Or yep. even for some shows, they kind of brought us onto the back through there at some point.
When during July 3rd, July 4th, Christmas and New Year's, they open up that to help people exit the park.
Right.
They also use that area to begin the trick-or-treating on Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party nights.
Right.
They were supposed to build some type of a huge building that would have a purpose of presenting theater shows. Still waiting for that to happen. Right. That reminds me of also there was discussion about a black box pavilion in Epcot's Future World, which is Discovery Land now. that never came to play. Also, I was told by a cast member that across from the original Aloha Isle, where the original Dole Whip was served, where you have Swiss Family Robinson, they were going to build I was told that, was it Eisner at the time? Eisner was there at the time. That Eisner decided that that part of the Magic Kingdom was not being utilized. So he wanted to build a really significant attraction. At the time, I believe there was a movie, and I don't know if it was called Fire Mountain, but the attraction was supposed to be called Fire Mountain. It was supposed to be a very unusual roller coaster type ride in which you got into the vehicle and you were going over a mountain where there would be dragons, and all of a sudden the mountain would turn into a volcano. And what you were sitting in and the vehicle, the bottom would fall out, but you would be on a harness and you would ride the rest of the way in a harness. That never happened. So the Australia Pavilion in World Showcase, where they, where you go from China to, and you go to that like African. That was supposed to be Australia. That never happened. So Mystical Land in Disney's Animal Kingdom. Do you remember the original logo and there was a dragon? That never happened. So long-term plans, I take with a grain of salt. However, there are some short-term plans, which I feel have a lot of credibility, and that may happen. So I'd like to run them by you, Chris, and tell me how you feel about them.
Okay.
So the first one is that the Tree of Life is supposed to undergo a change, and it will go from Beauty and the Bees to a Zootopia kind of imagery or whatever. I don't know how they're going to do that, but that's in the plans, and that I have a feeling that that might be something that'll happen because Beauty and the Beast, you know, everybody has seen that. So that's something. How do you feel about that?
Well, I like the Tough to Be a Bug. Is that the one you're talking about that they're going to get rid of?
Yes.
Right. So,
why am I saying Beauty and the Beast? I'm sorry.
No, I know what you mean. But it's so funny. I loved and hated that one. I thought it was fun because it was something different. The bugs and the scaring thing. It reminded me of the extraterrestrial ride. It was sort of a little bit out of place, but it was fun to be scared, shocked, and the way the bugs would, the spiders would fall and everybody'd scream, or if the on the way out, the bugs would crawl under your butt. You know, like it was fun stuff. I know they always want to update and try something new and keep the IP growing. It's always good to refresh. I'm at the point now where I'm like, yeah, you know, make something different. But do you feel the same, or you're just like, leave it where it was?
I think that there are some attractions which are dated that need to get a facelift or change. And I think that this would be a welcomed change. I'm open to it. I think that it would.
You didn't get the name right, so obviously it didn't have a big impact on you.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it'd have to be doing a lot of infrastructure work to that theater.
Yeah.
But I'm curious about that. I think it might happen.
They could probably just take what they've got there and just sort of like how they did with the Stitch overlay on Extraterrestrial, give it some kind of facelift, but keep the attraction similar, you know?
Well, we'll see. Yeah. The next one I'd like to talk about is something that I think everybody would be excited about, because for years, I hated Dinoland USA.
I was hoping you were going to talk about this one. Okay.
Yeah. So the plan is to bring an Indiana Jones attraction to the Animal Kingdom where Dinoland USA is. And
I thought it was Dinosaur, right? Dinosaur is the same ride vehicle and the same thing as the Indiana Jones ride in Disneyland. Can't they just port it over and change the stuff? I mean, it's the same exact ride vehicle.
Yeah, that might be it. They did not say anything about Dino. It sounded like they were going to add it to Dinoland, and I guess Dinosaur is part of Dinoland. So, yeah.
But it's the same ride vehicle. I even think it's the same mapping. It's the same, you know, run around in the thing. So you just put Indiana Jones, just redecorate it, and
you know, you're right, Chris. That could very well be where they're going to do it.
But what else would they do in that land then? Are they going to just still have it dinosaurs, or are they going to do something different?
They were talking about adding some more to the Animal Kingdom. There were in last
Zootopia
year
land.
Well, last Zootopia was also thought about that they were going to do that in the Animal Kingdom. Which they are the Tree of Life. But what I'm saying is that even the plans from 2022 to 2023 changed. There were certain things that were mentioned that never really happened. Mm-hmm. They weren't sure where they were going to do with plans to put together brand new lands, such as, I mean, the size of Galaxy's Edge, Wakanda, Encanto, Coco, even Frozen. They learned a lesson with Frozen. They really didn't expect Frozen to be as successful.
Yeah, I remember that one.
So they scrambled to change the Norway ride into the Frozen ride. So there's a lot of plans to do that. As a matter of fact, behind Big Thunder Mountain, they're calling this Big Thunder Mountain Blue Sky Concepts. They're thinking about putting an Encanto land there. So with new restaurants and stuff, and maybe they will probably try to combine a Encanto land with a Coco kind of land. Right. So that might be something that I think would be welcome. So we'll see. I have some faith in those.
But but Dino Land, do you think it's just, are they going to change it? Did they put out anything that said anything about it? Other than the Indiana Jones thing, are they going to turn it into more of a Adventureland type of feel? I mean,
that's a big space.
Are they going to get rid of all of those, like
Triceratops Spin?
Yeah, well, they've already gotten rid of a couple of them, but they got all the game stuff there. Are they going to ditch that? And
I don't know what they're going to do there. They could very well take that area and turn it into some kind of a shopping area to generate revenue, or maybe even a restaurant. I don't know if they have any specific attraction news.
They haven't announced anything yet.
Yeah. So
what would you put there?
Well,
I mean, the Zootopia thing is there. I mean, you know, it's made for Animal Kingdom, I would think.
Well, I think that You know, I originally thought that's where they would put the Indiana Jones ride, but like you said, maybe that's not a big enough space for that ride if it's going to be similar to the one at Disneyland. So I think your point about dinosaur or countdown to extinction, mm-hmm. as we used to call it, to be retooled into an Indiana Jones ride, I think that might work. If you remember, there's a long, really exquisite queue for the Indiana Jones attraction at Disneyland. And I'm right. trying to figure out if they could do that with the dinosaur. They might have to build it back a little bit.
I know, it's so funny, right? You think about like Pirates, where the queue and the beginning of the ride is so much longer than in Disney. And then even Haunted Mansion is slightly different, but we kind of get gypped out on the Pirates in Disney World. I wonder if they're going to try to do something different for this place as well, make it shorter. I don't know what else they could put in there.
I don't know.
I mean, obviously, it's got to be animal-centric, and they've got, like I said, Zootopia is one property. What else would they, I mean, Wakanda, like you said, but then that...
I don't know if that's big enough for a Wakanda kind of experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it could be a big meet and greet area.
Yeah. Interesting.
Wait and see. I don't think they have released any concept drawings.
Right.
They're being very vague. So, okay. So we'll see. You know,
all right, what's the next one?
They're going to, and I think this probably will happen rather quickly. It's not a big deal, but do you remember what the attraction was prior to Test Track? I believe Test Track is where World of Motion was. And so what they're going to do is they're going to reimagine Test Track, and they're going to pay respects to World of Motion with some type of overlay that will bring back memories of World of Motion. So
that's nice.
It's not a big deal, but it's a nice thing, you know?
I kind of didn't like the Testron version. I like the original version. It was a little bit more fun. Where it was like a real test track, like, you know, they had someone talking to you and, you know, there was somebody in the back room and stuff like that. And you'd go through, and this was just sort of like, they just added lights and day glow stuff. And that was probably it. And so it'd be good to see that updated a bit.
Mission Space replaced Horizons. That's what it was a senior moment there for me.
Hey, so, look, we're all seniors.
You know, the other thing too, do you remember, Chris, there was an article I think you shared with me earlier this week about nostalgia? Or maybe it was Michelle that
No, I think it with I think I sent it to you guys. No, right. It was Michelle. She sent us the three things. It was smells, nostalgia, and peer pressure from people taking pictures at the parks and stuff and seeing stuff like that. Makes so many people go to the Disney parks?
A return back. Yes.
Yeah.
Return. And we talked about the smellitizers, which are like, I know that there were some that were placed on Main Street USA right outside the bakery, which is now Starbucks.
Yep.
But nostalgia is a big deal with Disney. Legacy is a big deal with them. And that's why attractions such as Pirates and Small World and
Haunted Mansion
and I'm not sure if that was built before Walt Disney passed away.
We started, but I don't think he got to see the final Haunted Mansion, I think.
Right. And Carousel of Progress is another one. Probably will never be touched.
A little bit. I mean, Pirates has been touched. It's been upgraded and sweet.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
Haunted Mansion. I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're definitely going to upgrade it and, you know, add things as they go along. But
over the years, there have been things that I've noticed where guests have not welcomed new attractions or things like work shows or whatever. And I think that early on in the history of Walt Disney World Resort, they could very easily change things, boom, left, right, it really quickly. They couldn't do that at Disneyland because you had like three generations or four generations since whatever, the 50s. So they felt that there was ownership in that park. And so things like when they've tried to remove moments with Mr. Lincoln, great mm-hmm. moments with Miss Lincoln, didn't work. So they have to be very careful out there. I think we're approaching that kind of atmosphere environment in Walt Disney World. And because of that, there are things that either stick around for a long time or they're coming back. Example, they are going to take Soarin' and they are returning the original Soarin' Over California film to that attraction.
Temporarily or for long term?
I don't know how long, but that is in the plans. And I got to think that people are thinking, you know, this CGI stuff just doesn't work.
Yeah, we've talked about this in the past, just how it did feel fake. And even like you had to choose the right seats for the Eiffel Tower, because if you were on the outside, it looked like it bent and it sort of lost that feeling that you were in a helicopter flying over these places. So it'll be welcome to see the old one back.
Yeah, there are. I heard, and I'm not sure how true this is. I don't put much credibility in this, but I heard that Country Bear Jamboree may get a change.
I think I saw that too. I'll get updated.
Oh, so okay, so maybe it is going to change. Don't know how long that would take. But we'll see. One thing that everybody's been waiting for, it's going to happen in November finally. When we were there last month, it wasn't available to be shown, and that is the Hatbox Ghost in the Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's supposed to finally come online in November, Chris, and the Hatbox Ghost will appear. You know, when you're in the dune buggies and you look down that long hallway and you can see a candelabra and it's floating. He's going to be to the left of that.
Interesting.
So that's going to happen.
No, you would think it would be up in the attic portion, but they're going to move it over there, huh?
Yeah, because old hat box or whatever. But I think that particular area, it looks like it's going to be a large audio animatronic. Probably in the area, maybe 6'3", 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's really dark in that part of the attraction.
Yeah.
So when the face lights up in the hat box, it will have that much of a
cool effect.
Yeah. I think if there's anything else that I can think of that's going to change. But my point in all this is that, you know, we get back to the nostalgia part. And I remember they brought back the Main Street USA parade at night because people missed it. Mm-hmm. They brought back a lot of things. The songs in Carousel of Progress, they had, It's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow is what we hear, but there used to be a song called Now Is the Time.
Mm-hmm.
Now is the best time. So my point is that a lot of Walt Disney World fans are gaining this ownership feeling and they don't want things to change.
Or they want it to be the same, but better. Like, you know, you sort of improve it, like remember the old stuff, but clean it up, make it a little bit nicer. You know, like, I think that's the smart way. They did it with Pirates. They did it with Haunted Mansion, where they don't destroy it totally, but just make things a little bit better. You know, like, remember when they added those bats to the wall that came to life and stuff? And it was like, yeah, that's a great thing where you still get that feeling of the old Haunted Mansion, but you get a little something extra as well. But so do you think all that money they're talking about are these things that you're talking about? Like the change to Animal Kingdom, perhaps changing around some.
I would expect that's part of the budget over the next 10 years. It's not a figure that say, okay, in 10 years, you know, 10 years from now, we're going to spend it. I think that this is a parcel to the overall plans. Right. I do think that the big ticket items are going to be the land expansion, the things like behind Big Thunder Mountain. That seems to be the big one. There's also, they want to tap into the Moana craze. They want to tap into the Encanto craze. They want to tap into the Coco craze. They want to tap into Black Panther. Maybe the black sure. is going to be a Black Panther thing.
Because I think that character is not under that universal ban, you know, down in Florida. So,
no, I think that ban, didn't that run out in that time?
No,
that was a 50-year ban. I think it was.
Yeah, it was. It's a really long time. But
it might be close. You could not have a costumed Marvel character Disney theme park east of the Mississippi. Right. That was the language that was the contract.
Right. But it was stated specific characters. That's why you can still see like Guardians in Epcot now. So nobody expected Guardians to take off like it did. But speaking of totally off, I also read online somewhere. I try to stay away from the news now because I want you to be my news source. That there is some kind of developmental permit to do some work, and it looks like it's work on the Star Wars hotel, so they might be doing something to it, maybe turning into a regular hotel as opposed to this quote unquote luxury cruise ship in space. Maybe they turn into a more traditional hotel.
I don't know how many rooms they have in that hotel. I don't know what they would do. They could just adjust it a little bit and maybe lower the price by about 90%. Maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say they probably have to get rid of all of the play stuff. You know, just sort of turn it into a regular, smaller hotel with where you could get food, you could get beverages. Not having this whole role playing thing going on, but it looks like they want to do something there. I mean, it's silly for them not to. They built the place; they might as well convert. I wonder if it'd still be Star Wars. Maybe they change it to something else.
You know, Chris, your mentioning of this makes me think that's called the Star Cruiser, I guess. When you think about the Star Cruiser and you think about Space 2022 or whatever it's called, the restaurant. There's an over marketing thing that's happening sometimes with Disney. They expect things to really be welcomed with open arms, and I think they're learning that there are price thresholds that they need to be aware of, and they also need to be aware of what people want and what people do not want. I think that in many cases they come close to getting it right, and they somehow miss it.
Right.
And it could be because there is a new group of brain trust that is trying out things and it's just not working. And the old faction who really understood the guests and what the guests wanted, they're gone.
Yeah.
And I brought this up at the last episode about Harmonious. I mean, a lot of people love the Illuminations, and who knows, that could come back. I think they destroyed the globe. I hope they didn't, but Harmonious was it had a good base, but the problem was that we are a very visual society, and that just didn't work. So they missed it there.
Yeah. Well, you couldn't see a lot of it because it was all projection and on water and, with the globe, it was a little hot. Yeah, you have to be in certain spots to see it properly. It wasn't a 360. I mean, that's the great thing about the globe is that it's 360. You can anywhere in the park, besides obviously the trees or walls or whatever, but you could see what was going on from a distance. Whereas with Harmonious, it was hard to get anything. So,
and it's a shame because I thought that the audio was very good. And do you remember when they had the special Harmonious show on Disney Plus with it, and Idina Menzel was there, and that's gone. They took it off.
Yeah. They want to forget it all.
I mean, they spent a lot of money. I hate to see how much money they've spent on attractions and things that they thought would really work well that just didn't, like the Star Cruiser, like Harmonious.
Yeah. I know they're expensive mistakes that, end up going into the park admission, it's just weird. But all right, well, we're about a little over 30 minutes here, so
I'm glad you mentioned the park admission, because that makes a transition into our weekly tips discussion.
Good.
Try to bring something to the microphone every week that may help those who are planning a trip, who haven't been in a while, who have never been, and try to give some help as to how to make the most of their vacation dollars. Now, you mentioned, you know, the admission is very expensive, and you have to figure out where you can cut, where you can save some money to afford to do whatever you want to do. One of the things that I've noticed over the years is that the cost of just staying on the property has been just jumping through the sky. Yeah. Recently, they rescinded the parking fees at the resort. So if you had a rental car, or if you were driven down, you were charged $15, $20, $30, $40 a night, depending upon which resort you were staying. But they rescinded that. So that kind of saves money. But there are some things that I don't know if people know this. I think there are some nerds like us who pay attention to this stuff, but I have started to pay attention. And one of the things I've noticed is that there's a big difference in the per night rack rate, depending upon what time of the year you go and when during the week you go. So I wanted to point that out to people. And I want to use an example just before we went on the air. Mm-hmm. I was looking at, so what a week would, what in a 5-day stay in the Caribbean Beach Resort, which is a moderate, which is right in the middle of the moderates. It's in the sort of in the central area of the entire resort, Walt Disney World Resort, how much it would cost for a week in October. And what I noticed is that there's a difference of almost $50 per night between a Saturday night, a Friday night, a Saturday night stay, and the rest of the week. For instance, if you stayed October 20th to October 26th, okay, that Friday night cost, this is amazing. This is the Caribbean where my first stay at the Caribbean, I paid $78 a month, a day, a night.
Yeah.
Friday night, $445. This is before, mind you, this is before taxes. $445 Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
$445 Saturday night, Sunday night, $416.
Yeah.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, $415. Thursday night, $416. So what am I getting at here? Weekends are expensive. And, you know, people like to spend a week. If you're going to spend a week, then you're going to have to realize that you're going to be paying really high for those weekend nights. But if you went, you know,
Sunday through Thursday
and leave Friday.
Yeah.
You know, that might be something to consider. I just thought I'd mention that. And in regards to moderates, you've got the Caribbean, you've got Port Orleans, you've got Riverside, and you have Coronado Springs. Something to keep in mind that Coronado Springs is now the largest convention center in Walt Disney World Resort, which means they have the largest number of rooms, which means they really have to do whatever they can to put heads in the beds. So when people are looking for where they want to stay and they're looking at the moderate kind of price range, I would go to Coronado Springs first. I would, Caribbean is kind of expensive. It's the, they have the largest rooms. At least they used to have. Port Orleans and Riverside are kind of expensive because they're really close to the Magic Kingdom. Coronado Springs is kind of out there towards the Animal Kingdom. So they're going to have the best price. So I thought I'd mention that because I've noticed that the last couple of years. The other thing to consider is that if you're looking at a moderate resort type of price range, there is something out there that you may want to consider, and that's the Dolphin. The Dolphin Hotel, usually cheaper than the Swan, and sometimes you can get a pretty good rack rate, especially if you go through like AAA.
Right.
The thing to keep in mind, though, is that the Dolphin still charges you parking every night and also attaches a resort fee. But if you can get a good rack rate, and sometimes you can get it as low as maybe $217, $220 a night. Think of this. If you added the resort and the parking fee, you're still around $300,
right?
Which is still cheaper than a moderate. And look where you are. You're right there in the central area. You can walk to the studios. You can walk into Epcot.
And they got the ferry there. I mean, the boats, the Freedom? No. What are they called? No, I don't remember those boats. What are those boats called? I used to take them all the time.
I know.
And then we started walking because it was...
Friendship boats.
Friendship. There we go.
I think they're called French. Yeah. But we took a lot of them last month. So my point is that it's centrally located. It's a moderate resort priced hotel. It's not Disney, but it can make the most of your time, especially if you're going to not be there for a long period of time. You can make good use of your time because you can walk to Epcot. You can walk to the studios. You can take the Skyway to another resort if you want.
Yeah.
So that's something that I think people should always look into. But there is a caveat, and that is you really have to do your research. You really have to find out what time of the year works for you, with your schedule, with your budget, with your family. I can tell you that when I look at the Dolphin, there's sometimes a difference of almost 40% from one night to the next.
Wow.
We talked crazy about the weekends and like the Caribbean, but I've seen rooms go from $280 a night to all of a sudden $480 a night the very next night.
Wow.
And it could be because of several factors, which I'm not aware of, but
right,
it's just important for everyone to think about what they can do to save some time, because you know, you get Genie Plus, you've got, like you mentioned,
Permission.
So that's the tip for this week.
Yeah. All right. Very good. So, all right. So I guess I'll wrap it up for today. So I guess I'll take it out, and I'll just say, on behalf of Mike Scopa, I'm Chris Eliopoulos. We'll see you on the road and in the parks.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.
Was it Mission to Mars or something like that?
It was World of Motion.
World of Motion.
Wait a minute. Is that true? No, World of Motion. It was World of Motion where Mission Space is.
Yeah,
no.
I'm trying to remember what was the ride? What was the... No, that was... what was the... No, that's Epcot. That's Magic Kingdom. I'm trying to think of all the other different attractions over there. What was the one that shrunk you down? Remember, like, pretended to shrink you down? You're getting old, Mike. You're forgetting all these good ones.
Wasn't World of Motion. I'm glad we can edit this. It wasn't World of Motion. But let's get back to what I was trying to get to.
Yep.